everyone. Welcome to Real Reiki, Real Life, Real Spirituality. This interactive radio show focuses not only on Reiki, but on all topics of spirituality, as well as self-healing, self-empowerment, through loving and inspiring messages. This show is unique in that you can submit your comments and questions you would like aired and discussed on the show via a recording of your voice by going to www.realreikirealife.com. You can also schedule distant healing sessions with me online by going to that same website, which is www.realreikirealife.com. I am your host, Patricia Keene, ready to love, inspire, and serve you today. Hello, everyone. Thank you so much for joining us this week. And today I have a very, very special guest with me, and her name is Autumn Debbie Jensen. And she is a beautiful soul, and I'm so honored to have her here joining us today. And it's so hard to identify Debbie because she just can't be labeled. But if we were to put any kind of a label, we would say that she is a part-time Reiki master, also a part-time Jesus freak, a part-time shaman, part-time witch, and so much more. So welcome to the show, Debbie. Thank you again so much for joining us.
Thank you. Great to be here. Actually, I do go by Autumn.
You go by Autumn. Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
My birth name was Deborah. And a few years ago, I took my chosen name of Autumn.
That's neat.
Which fits me
much more.
Better.
Yeah.
Resonates with me much stronger.
Okay. That makes sense.
And if you see me with red hair, I look like an Autumn.
That's true. Beautiful. It's beautiful. I love it. Awesome. So that's good to know because I know, I think when I met you, your public name was Debbie. And I think it is too in your business a little bit, right? Is that kind of how it is?
Yeah. Okay. I'm in the beauty business and people, because I've been in that business for so many years, they know me as Debbie. Mm-hmm. But I am trying to make that transition. Tell my clients now that I've changed my name.
Beautiful.
And, you know, if it's more comfortable for them to call me Debbie, then that's fine. It's not like a big deal, but I do prefer Autumn.
Good. Good to know. And I have to say that does fit you much more too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Definitely resonates a lot more. Yeah. So cool.
Deborah always seemed like a librarian name. Nothing against librarians. But I felt like as a Deborah, I should be a librarian or
sense.
An attorney or something like that.
It just sounds so very, what is the word I'm trying to think of? Very professional. Not that you're not professional, but just so, I don't know.
Yeah.
You know what I'm trying to say.
Like an attorney.
Yeah, like an attorney. Yeah.
Not so much a beauty industry.
Right, definitely. Okay, cool. Well, can you tell us just a little bit about yourself, a little bit about your journey, how you got into this work? You know, anything that you feel like you would like to share, we would love to hear it.
Well, I was born to a very young mother. She was only 16 when she got pregnant with me. And she did marry my father, and they divorced.
Okay.
And then she remarried when I was 2 years old to a man who was in the Army.
Okay.
So I was brought up an Army brat, and we traveled a lot. We moved pretty much every year.
Mm-hmm.
And it would be typically in the middle of the school year. So I was always the new girl. And I had this bright carrot red hair. And
so you're a natural redhead.
Yes,
oh,
I am.
I love it.
I had huge freckles. And, you know, as I went through puberty, I got the big buck teeth, and I got teased a lot. Red, peed the bed, you know, all that.
I never heard that kind of stuff.
I was teased constantly.
Oh.
And so always being the new girl and being what I felt was ugly, I felt very ugly.
Mm.
I I just never felt that I fit in anywhere. And as I became a teenager, I recognized very early that I had kind of a different thought process than most people.
Mm-hmm.
And when I did make friends, I would talk about things that were intriguing to me, like UFOs and ghosts and hauntings and things like that. And people would kind of look at me like, you are really kind of strange.
I love it.
And so I just never did fit in.
Mm-hmm.
And as I got a little bit older, I realized how different I was from most of the people that I was hanging out with. And this was in Utah, where it was a predominantly Mormon, LDS,
right,
faith-based.
So I can see how that would go over.
Right?
Yeah.
And my parents, they were not active in the Mormon church, but they did encourage us and allow us kids, my sisters and I, to go to the Mormon church.
Mm-hmm.
And my grandmother was very, very active in the Mormon mm-hmm. church. So she took a lot of pride in taking me to church with her.
Mm.
And so as I grew and I recognized how different I was, you know, in Utah particularly, there was just nowhere to fit in.
That makes sense.
Because I wasn't a party girl and I wasn't a religious girl,
mm-hmm.
either one.
Right.
But there was a time when my parents moved to California, and there was a little bit more free speech and free thought process. For that 1 year that I lived there as a teenager, I moved into that that time period of a hippie. You know, there was peace, love, rock and roll, all that. And that was my era. And it was really fun to meet people who had a different expression and a little bit broader viewpoint on things. And so that gave me permission a little bit to explore what I believed.
Right, right.
So,
that makes sense.
Yeah, so I kind of took that. I think I was about 14, 15 at that time. And so that era of the hippie movement became, I guess I could say, a foundation for me because it resonated.
Makes sense.
At that time. And I kind of sat with that, you know, went through my growing up and boyfriends and getting married and all of that. And when I was about 22 years old, I met a woman in a little town of Springville, Utah, that they called the Springville Witch. And she was a card reader.
Uh-huh.
She would read your cards. She would read tea leaves and tell your fortune. And I was so intrigued with her. And I went to her for a couple of readings, and then one day she said, well, would you like to learn how to meditate? And I said, sure, that would be awesome. And so she taught me how to meditate. And I was very, what would I say, devoted to learning how to do that. And I bought all these tapes, you know, with guided meditations, and I was really just intrigued, so intrigued. And it took quite a few months to get to the point where I could actually relax into that and allow my mind to expand and open to whatever would come in. And when that first starts to happen, I don't know about you, but when that first started to happen, I would question, was that real?
Am I just making it up, right? Yeah.
Did I make that up? But then it's like, well, that was so bizarre. How, you couldn't have made that up.
Exactly.
Right?
Exactly.
And it was probably at least a year before I felt, it would actually scare me a little bit every once in a while, kind of jump my jumpstart my heart, you know, some of the things that I would see or experience in meditation. And it was probably a good year before I realized that this has to be real. Mm-hmm. This can't be stuff I'm making up.
Right.
And at that point, I was able to kind of ease in to trusting the experience and relaxing into it and allowing whatever is going to come to come. And when that finally happened, when I was actually able to relax into it completely, open my body, open my mind, open my heart, and let everything in the day go, that is when I had such a profound experience.
Yes.
And it was Christ.
Ooh.
Christ.
Oh, I'm glad you're bringing that up, because I was going to ask you about the Jesus freak part. So yeah, let's hear about Christ and all of that good stuff.
You know, a lot of those guided meditations would talk about, you know, you might see your guide or your higher self or your legion of angels. There was all this lingo, right?
Right.
But I never did see all of that. Mm-hmm. What I saw was Christ, and he actually appeared above me with his hands reached out, and we were instructed in the tape to see a white light coming down into the crown from the universe and down into my crown. Well, for me, that was Jesus above me with white light in his hands.
I love it.
And the white light would come from his hands and enter my crown. And then I would fill my body with that light and expand with this white light.
Ooh, that gives me chills. That's beautiful. Oh, that's beautiful.
And so I developed a very close, what I would say, a close relationship with Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And he became my personal guide.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you ask me if I can recite scripture from the Bible, although I have read the Bible, yes, I have, but I can't recite scripture. That is not the Jesus that I know.
Mm-hmm.
I know Jesus from a very personal, intimate, spiritual level that resonates with me.
Yes.
I know his frequency. I know his spirit. But I can't tell you all of the things that he did in the Bible.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I know exactly what you mean with that, because I've experienced a couple of those things myself. And it's almost like our... I don't know about you, but for me, when I've had that happen, it's almost like I can't, my whole body, my physical earthly body can't handle the frequency that he is in some ways. Does that make sense? It's almost overwhelming, but not in a bad way, just like completely, just nothing like you can even describe of this world that you feel. And it's almost like he has to meet us on our frequency to kind of, you know what I'm saying? So but when he does, he's still as bright as ever.
Yes.
I don't know how to, it's so hard to explain, as often some of these spiritual things that happen are. But yes, that I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah. They use the word unconditional love, which yes he is. You know,
Amen.
I don't know of a time when I felt so unconditionally, and the word isn't big enough for what
the
feeling is.
Yes.
That unconditional love, acceptance of him actually taking me in his arms and cradling me and letting me know that he is there, that he walks beside me in every moment of every day of my life. You know, that he is home.
Yeah.
He is home.
Yes. Yes. Oh, I love it. Ooh, it gives me chills, because that's been my experience too. So I resonate with that. And I love it because, Debbie, I know you don't follow any kind of organized religion or anything like that. And I love that because, you know, my personal belief is that God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, or whoever you want to define them as, is here to serve everybody. It doesn't matter if you subscribe to religion, if you don't. They're here to serve everybody.
Absolutely.
And so I love that you've been able to experience that, because it just further confirms what we already know, that you don't have to subscribe to religion. You don't have to be a Christian or whatever you want to call it to experience the love mm-hmm. that Jesus has for us.
Yeah, and he's only one frequency.
Of many. One of countless ones, yes.
Mm-hmm. And then they say ascended master.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he is not the only ascended master.
Right, right.
And I have experienced other ascended mm-hmm. masters since then, but he just is the one that, for whatever reason, I guess mm-hmm. I don't know that answer yet,
mm-hmm.
for whatever reason, he is the one that my frequency feels attuned to. And I will say that I have been a member of organized religion.
That
I have had experience with that. I have mm-hmm. been a faithful, devoted Mormon at one time.
Mm-hmm.
And I have nothing against them.
No,
you know, it's
not
time that I regret in any way. I'm grateful, very grateful for the time that I spent in the organized religion that I did, because it was just a stepping stone for
me.
You know,
I
learned and I grew from that.
Yes.
And those people who find their home in their organized religion, kudos to those people, because they're learning on their own path to be a better human being, however
that looks. Mm-hmm. Exactly. I love that. However that looks for everybody. You know, we're not here to judge what someone else's path is.
Not
you know, that's up to them.
And that is the one thing that Christ taught.
Mm-hmm. Because you can't be unconditional love and yet go around judging others' beliefs.
Correct.
You just can't. Doesn't happen.
Absolutely.
Yep. Oh, that is so beautiful. I love it. I love it, Autumn. Wow. What you were talking about as far as the frequency, like how you resonate with his frequency, makes complete sense, because I think I told you this the other day when you gave me a hug. There, it was just the most beautiful feeling, like this love, this gentleness, this kindness was just emanating from you.
Aww, and it
was just so beautiful to experience that energy. And I already knew you were all those things, but to, you know, when a body connects with another body and hug and in love, it's like so, so different. And so the way I identify Jesus is through all those qualities.
Mm-hmm.
And so that really makes sense that you resonate with that, because that's who you are. You know, we all have that Christ consciousness inside of us too.
Yes.
Yeah.
We do.
Yeah.
We do.
All right, Autumn. Well, thank you so much for sharing that with us. I know that had to have touched quite a few people out there. It definitely touched me. And I thank you for sharing your light regarding that. That is just a beautiful journey that you've been on. And one thing I wanted to ask you is, can you kind of tell us what projects you're working on at this time? Maybe any classes you're offering, what kind of services you offer, you know, that kind of thing, and maybe how you got into all of those things?
Sure.
What guided you to do that?
Well, right now I am I'm bringing out a new program called Uncovering Your Undercover Lightworker.
Mm-hmm.
And I will tell you this. For many, many years, all of the things that I was learning and doing was solo, by myself.
Mm.
I did not have a tribe. I did not have a group that I was learning from or with.
Mm-hmm.
I was learning it on my own because I didn't fit in.
Yes.
Or at least I thought I didn't fit in. I had that perception that if I were to be open, completely transparent with my clients or people that I meet, based on my past experience, I would be the weird woo-woo lady, right? And I have built a pretty good business doing permanent cosmetics, and I have built my name, and I have built a business that is very professional.
Mm-hmm. And just a little plug on that, Autumn. I have seen the work that she does. So anybody who lives in the Salt Lake area, if you're looking for anything like that, this is your gal.
Oh, thank you.
She does beautiful work. I mean, I just see all the women that she's worked on, and I'm just amazed. I plan on getting some of that done eventually from you. So yeah.
Thank you.
But anyway, that was a plug because you are amazing at what you do. Such
thank
a gifted
you.
Artist.
Yeah, that's been my life for 20 years.
Wow. So
well,
you've 30, had a lot of time
35
to develop
years
that, yeah.
in the beauty business. So, yeah. you know, I have developed this very professional persona mm-hmm. in the business that I have run. So to come out and say, oh, and by the way, I'm a Reiki master or I'm a shaman or whatever, you know, my perception was that people would be like, oh my gosh, I cannot be here. She's evil. You know?
Yes.
I better leave before the curse is upon me. And so, you know, I spent three decades just being undercover with my own beliefs.
Mm-hmm.
And I shared that with a very select few people.
Yes.
Only after I felt them out and kind of could see that we're going in the direction of talking about woo-woo stuff, right? And then once the other person revealed to me that they believe something different... Yeah. Then I would come forward and say, oh, hey, what about Reiki? What about shamanism? What about witchcraft? What about, you know, what about all of these ascended masters and angels? Do you see angels? Have you had weird dreams? Have you ever seen a UFO? You know, and then it's like, oh, I have found my person. I found my people. And it's like, blah, 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 blah. You can't talk about it fast enough,
so
you
true.
Know? You just want to know everything that they know and everything that has been experienced. But honestly, that was so few and far between
mm-hmm.
that I really felt like I was living my life in secret.
Yes.
For the most part.
Yes. And it makes sense because you had mentioned earlier that you would listen to meditation tapes. So
yeah.
that's a while ago. So you've been doing this for quite a while. And that probably goes back to a time when a lot of this stuff just really was still not out there.
No, it was
yeah.
not out there.
It
may have been in other places. You know, like I remember going to Las Vegas to a metaphysical store,
mm-hmm.
which was a long ways from my home. It was the only place I knew of that I
wow.
could buy crystals
wow.
or I could buy tarot cards or
wow.
that I could buy the tapes for guided meditation
mm-hmm.
clear into Las Vegas.
That is, I can't even imagine that really,
mm-hmm.
because I got into this within the last 10 years. So as you know, things have exploded regarding that in the last 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
I can't imagine even going further than that and having
yeah.
to drive hours and hours and hours. So
yeah.
I can see why you were undercover and why
yeah.
you felt like you couldn't come out with that. So,
right.
Yeah.
So, you know, within the last... I'm trying to remember what year I took my first Reiki class.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's when my mind really expanded and I started sharing it with a few more people and I started doing some Reiki treatments on friends and family.
Yes.
I wasn't going to tell people, you know, that I was doing Reiki because I'd have to explain what that is
right.
and they would be freaked out, right?
That or they have all these misconceptions about Reiki and what it is and what we do with it. So
yeah.
yes, I get it.
Yeah. And so I'm thinking that was probably 10 years ago. Around in there
okay.
when I was exposed to Reiki. And as I practiced that on friends and family, I became more comfortable with it
mm-hmm.
and started offering it to those clients who I kind of had picked out and knew,
yeah.
you know, they had a little bit broader perspective on things.
Uh-huh.
And so I have, at that time, a few, maybe 10 regular Reiki clients. But I started to see some miracles, some really big miracles happen with
mm-hmm.
some of those clients. And I've shared about some of those experiences in seminars where I've been speaking, you know, publicly about them. Mm-hmm. One, you know, getting a check to pull himself out of debt when he was on the verge of suicide, near suicide.
Oh.
And I've seen some health things happen to people's health that, you know, you can't explain.
Yes, that defies what we know on the earthly plane, or what, yeah, we've been conditioned to believe on the earthly mm-hmm, plane.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
My own husband included. My husband had very serious case of cancer. He came down with colorectal cancer, and he was diagnosed in 2004, and it was stage 3, and he has had a lot of health issues, you know, off and on since that time. He did have chemo and radiation and a million surgeries and all of that stuff. Mm. But those things in themselves caused other health issues.
Yes.
And he has been at death's door numerous times. Mm. And together with friends who are into the same things I am, as well as on my own, I have watched him go from that pale gray on death's door color in his face and laid him on my Reiki table and administered to him with other friends who do the same things. And we have literally watched his color change before our eyes.
Yeah.
And get up off of that table and in his own words say, "I could go out and do cartwheels on the grass right now."
You know, so that is so beautiful.
I can't explain it. Mm-mm. I mean, I can explain it from what I know. I know the energy. I know the frequency that is running through my body.
Right.
But I can't give you a scientific explanation.
Yeah.
But I can tell you it works.
Yeah.
Without a doubt.
Yeah, absolutely. It does. I love how you explain that, too, how it's something that you can't explain, because I have witnessed that those same miracles myself. You know, when I first got into this, I'll just say really quickly, I came from a very religious background myself. And so I was still trying to figure out how this fit in with my beliefs and all that stuff. And, you know, because there's just, like we said, this like negative connotation with people who do this kind of thing. You know, whether it's being a witch or whether it's being a shaman or a Reiki master or a Reiki practitioner, whatever, you know, there's this negative association that it's evil. And with all the good that I have seen come from everything that not only, I wouldn't say I, because I'm not giving myself the credit. We know that a lot of this isn't us. I mean, it is who we are, but it's not us. We get a lot of help from mm-hmm. the other side.
Absolutely.
So, you know, there's definitely a lot of credit there for helping us. So when I think of it that way, and all the good that has come from it, and in fact, you probably have been able to strengthen your relationship with the divine, whoever that is for you. And that was what brought me closer to God too. Mm-hmm. This
yes.
is just something that has exploded in a whole different way. And I would say that's probably the same for you, right? Just
yes.
it's brought you so much closer to the divine, and seeing the miracles of the divine and the wondrous things that can happen when we are able to look at those things in life that may be holding us back.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And even help heal ourselves from some of the blocks
yes.
that we maybe have experienced in life and that are still there.
Yes.
Yeah.
I learned very young that I could heal myself. I had mm-hmm. a pretty bad case of colitis.
Wow.
And, you know, with the meditations that I learned, and to bring the white light into your body and then to mm-hmm. expand it through all the areas of
it's
your
amazing,
body.
It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
And, you know, and permeate your cells with mm-hmm. the white light. Just that.
That alone.
Just that healed me.
Wow.
From colitis. And it was so bad that I was, you know, I think I was 23 years old and I couldn't go anywhere because I would be in the bathroom on the floor in such horrible pain from my intestines. being blocked and stuff. And meditation alone with the white light. Yeah. So that white light is your connection the divine. That is it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And if just that is powerful enough to heal your own body, imagine the power of more than one of us.
Yes.
And the power that we have to heal not only our friends and our loved ones, but our entire earth.
Yes. Yes.
And we are told, and this is the one scripture that I can quote.
I know where you're going on this one. I love it.
He said to us, this I have done, you can do also, and far more, and far greater.
Yes.
And I know this to be fact for my own personal life, because I have experienced it.
Yep. And it's not just delegated to a certain few. You know, there's not just a handful of people who are gifted and special and can do all of this. This is our divine birthright.
It is.
Yes.
We were promised this.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
When we took on a human body, we were given that promise.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And if you want it, it's there.
Yeah. It just takes you and doing some work, because really we have a lot of work to do. It's why we're here. So,
and that's part of the fun. That's part of the experiment, right?
It is. But let me tell you, sometimes it's not always pretty. As we know, it's not always pretty.
No.
But when we come out on the other side, then we can kind of look back and say, aha, okay, I know why I was supposed to go through that now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's not fun to have your husband at death's door with cancer and watch the suffering of someone that you love so much. Mm. And, you know, to learn the power of healing through that experience is a tremendous gift, but also a very painful journey.
Yes.
But without the pain, there is not the pleasure. Without the darkness, there is not the light.
Well, I can't believe how much time has already passed. I could just sit here and talk with you all day. There's just so much that we could say still, and I would love to have you on a future show again and discuss more, because there's just a lot. But in closing, I was wondering if you could share with us, if there's any like words of wisdom you could share with our listeners, and maybe you can talk a little bit more how they could sign up for your class if they're interested in taking that from you. You know, anything that you feel guided to do or to share.
Sure. Well, the uncovering your undercover lightworker, that starts on November 29th.
Mm-hmm.
So we're running short of time. If you want to get signed up with that, you can go to my website, undercoverlightworker.com.
Okay.
And that I am offering, this is the first time and probably the last time I will offer that particular class. It will be a 90-day online training program.
Mm-hmm.
And the purpose of it is to connect you to your higher self, because that's who's going to guide you and teach you how to use the light work that you possess.
Yes.
And uncover that light in yourself so that you can bring it out and share it with other people and not feel so self-conscious or stuck in judgment of yourself. I know I was in judgment of myself. One of the reasons that I did not share it with more people is that I was always saying, oh, I don't know enough yet. I'm not an expert.
Yeah.
You know, I probably need a lot more classes before I can teach it.
We limit ourselves in so many ways, don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. So there's the judgment. We're going to go over judgment. We're going to go over fear.
Oh, good.
The fear of being judged. The fear of being ostracized from your tribe if they know the truth about you, right? So we'll go into the fear, and we'll go into that final step of being able to actually surrender to your higher self. Because when you do surrender, that's when the magic happens.
Yes.
And so we will be discussing that. We will meet live through Zoom three times on a live Zoom call. And then the students will receive a lesson once a week in their inbox that mm-hmm. they can follow through during that week before we come back on live. We'll have a private Facebook page that we can share our experiences and our growth with one another, which will be really fun.
Really neat. Sounds so interactive.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So, yeah, that's coming up starting November 29th. I also do teach Reiki. Holy Fire is my specialty. I teach Reiki classes. I also teach Access Bars classes.
We would need to talk about that in a future episode.
Yeah.
Yes. That I've heard just some very, very limited stuff on it, so I don't know a ton. And I would love to discover that further with you. So.
Yeah, that's a whole different language, mm-hmm. Access Consciousness. Yeah. It's a completely different language that's pretty exciting. So, yeah, quite a few things coming up.
Oh, I can't wait until that class comes out because... just think of how many people out there are struggling the way you once did.
Mm-hmm.
How many of us are needed at this time to come forward, to shine our light, to step into our power, to be who we were meant to be, who we agreed to be actually in this life, and to embrace that without fear, without judgment. And so that is just sacred work.
It is.
You're doing to help other people. It's like you're paving the way for others to kind of find that for themselves.
It is. It's my purpose. And this has been revealed to me, just within the last few months that I came here with the Family of Light and that my purpose here is to teach love that we have got to. It's almost to the point where it is not a choice for me.
Yeah.
I know I could choose out.
Yeah.
But if I did, I would not be fulfilling my purpose here. And that is to bring back the love. Mm-hmm. That's the thing that this planet is missing. We've got to embrace it and learn to work with it and learn to grow it again.
Mm.
Because if we don't, we're headed for some really uncomfortable times ahead.
Yeah, definitely. And especially with the state of the world in which it is right now, we need that more than ever, mm-hmm. more than ever. It's just something that's imperative.
Yes.
Yes.
Crucial at this mm-hmm. time.
It is.
This is a calling that it's not heard by just me.
Many people. And I really honestly and truly believe those who have been called to Reiki and are listening right now are one of these people.
Absolutely.
You know? I mean, I think all of us really are. It's just whether you want to accept that and
uh-huh.
right.
Yeah. It's hard to step out into the light and be seen.
It is for so many different reasons. And everybody has those reasons of why they wouldn't do that. And we just ask that you would go inward. And if you need extra help, sign up for Debbie's class because it'll be amazing. And I keep calling you Debbie because that's how I know you. I'm so sorry.
It's just
I need
fine.
To retrain my brain.
I know. It's okay.
Yes. All right. Well, and do you offer like distant Reiki or anything like that to people who would like it?
I do.
You do.
Yes,
ooh.
Yes, you can go on my website. I do distant Reiki. I do in-person Reiki.
Mm-hmm.
And bars sessions.
That's beautiful. I'm going to have one of those from you. I'd love to experience that. But really quick, I just want to go back to what you said about love. And one thing that I've always thought about that is back to also an earlier conversation when we were talking about, you know, how people have this negative view of witches, of shamans, of people who read tarot cards and all these things. When it's obvious that they're coming from love,
mm-hmm.
how is that wicked? How is that evil?
I don't know evil.
Yeah, exactly. But that's how some people would perceive it.
Yes, I understand that. And that is the hierarchy that mm-hmm. was brought in, you know, clear back before the 1400s when Christianity, and nothing against Christianity, but the hierarchy that brought Christianity into the Dark Ages. These were men in a place of wanting power so badly that they were willing to murder.
Mm-hmm.
And torture,
yep.
And kill.
And it happened.
And yep. Yeah, it did. Do you know that it was, did you realize how many women were persecuted for being a witch?
Oh, I know.
Quote, unquote.
Oh, I know.
Do you know
the
number?
I don't, but I know, I remember hearing something about an estimate, like it was something about, like, wasn't it like 500,000 or more, something like that?
13 million.
Oh, I was way off.
13
wow.
million.
Oh.
Now, they were not all women, although the majority were. Also, you know, if you were a man who dared to be gay, you were persecuted for witchcraft.
Yeah, that's true.
So, you know, it wasn't just women, but the majority of those mm-hmm. were women.
Yeah.
And you compared to, you know, the Holocaust, where we lost 6 million mm. people.
Mm.
That's a lot of people. But can you wrap your mind around 13 million people murdered and tortured for practicing what they called witchcraft.
Right.
And these were women who lived off of Mother Earth, who gathered herbs
mm-hmm.
to put on the boils of their children mm-hmm. who were suffering with the plague.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that was a witch?
Yeah.
How is that wrong?
Exactly. Which you brought up an excellent point, too, of anything can be used for negative, even religion.
Mm-hmm.
As you just so wonderfully pointed out, look at what these men did in the name of religion. Well,
yes.
You know, the same can be said for anything else in life. So it doesn't mean that if someone calls himself a witch, they're bad.
Absolutely.
Or that if they're a shaman, they're bad. Because you can have that choice. Are you going to do good with it, or are you going to use it for something else?
Right.
Yeah.
And can we say that all the indigenous people were horrible, wicked people? They all followed a shaman.
Mm-hmm.
The shaman was the wise one of their tribe.
Right.
The one who taught them the ways of the people, the ways of the earth, the mm-hmm. ways of the tides that follow the moon. You know, the ways that the plants grow, the ways of honoring the animals that roamed their forests.
Mm-hmm.
They gave thanks to the animal, to not only the flesh of the animal, but the spirit of the animal for sacrificing its life to feed its people.
Yeah. And how is that bad?
That isn't bad.
Yeah, how is that bad?
It's just perception.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's ignorance is what it is.
It's true. Very, very true. Ignorance from millennia of conditioning mm-hmm. to believe otherwise.
Right.
Yep. I think we probably should wrap it up, although it's been such a wonderful time. And I just thank you so much, Autumn, for being here and sharing your light with everybody and all of our listeners and with the world, really. I mean, the endless ripple that you're creating through all the wonderful things that you're doing is just amazing. And I've seen it in action. I mean, if there's anybody that you would want for, you know, your own Reiki master or somebody who would do work on you distantly or even to come online for her class, this is your girl.
Oh, thank you.
Love her so much. And thank you again, Deb or Autumn. There I go again. All right.
Thank you, Patricia. It's been such a pleasure.
Yes, it has. Well, thanks again, everybody, for listening. And as always, I am Patricia Keene, reminding you to journey in light and serve with love. Namaste. To interact with us on our show, you can submit any listener questions via email or your recorded voice by going to our website at www.realreikirealife.com and using our interactive recorder to record your question or comments there. Your voice question or email may be featured, answered, and aired on an upcoming episode for a truly interactive experience. We also offer free recorded meditations as well as other free stuff. You can also schedule distant healing sessions with me on our website to help facilitate your healing journey. Until next time, I am your host, Patricia Keene, reminding you to always journey in light and serve with love.